So let's look to the Word of God. I just want to share from one verse with you and some thoughts around it. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. And this answer comes from the Lord to Moses, and Moses had been seeking the Lord about how are we to move up and take the land. He'd been through a little bit of a difficult time because he'd been up the mountain with the Lord getting the commandments, and when he came back down, he finds the Israelites worshipping a golden calf. I mean, how dumb those Israelites could be at times. Moses is gone for a little while, and they think, this fella's not coming back. Let's make all our gold earrings and everything and form them into a calf, and we'll worship that. It sounds really dumb, doesn't it? But, you know, we can have the same tendency sometimes when God seems remote or when he doesn't kind of give us the breakthrough we're looking for, or, you know, we can go through times and we begin to put our trust in other things, which is kind of like our worship. We put our trust in other things. And so Moses is going through a bit of heart searching, a bit of talking to God about what's going to happen. And he says, you know, who's going to lead us up? Who's going with us? And he's really saying to the Lord, if you're not going with us, I'm not going. And the Lord gives him a reassuring promise. He says this to him, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. My presence, and the word presence and face is the same word in Hebrew. So he's saying my presence and my very face. You recognize somebody by their face, don't you? We recognize people by their face. And he's saying, my face, my presence, something that you will recognize, will go with you. I will be very real to you. I'll be there right before you. And I will give you rest. He says that he will lead them by day with a pillar of cloud and with a pillar of fire by night. The cloud by day and the fire by night. And the presence of the Lord is really the key thing for us. And for us as a church, for you as you move forward in the days to come, you know, what is most important to you? What do you value the most? And I want to encourage you, the thing you need to value the most is the presence of the Lord. Is God among us? Is God recognizable among us? If people can come in among us and say, God is in this place, even if they don't know who he is, they might say, there's something here. There's something among you people. There's something stirs deep inside me as I hear you singing songs of worship. There's something that's drawing me, the presence of God. And as Moses was saying, if your presence doesn't go with us, we ain't going. And as church, we almost, you know, we do. We need to say, Lord, if your presence isn't among us, we might as well stay home. We might as well stay home and have bacon rolls. You know, you can eat at home and you can eat here. We eat here a lot, but you can eat at home. You might as well stay home. If God is not among us, what are we doing? But the Lord makes this promise. This is his promise to you. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. In the healing rooms, we used to put up our kind of sign, our banner, our watchword was this, his presence. That's what it was all about. And as we would seek the Lord and just worship him and really seek to be a people of his presence, then when we minister to people, it would just overflow into healings and salvations. The more we had that deep sense of the presence of the Lord, the cloud of his presence among us, the more we would often see without any effort, sometimes without even getting to the point of praying for a person, folk would be healed. People get healed in the waiting room sometimes because the presence of God overflowed. People get saved just walking by because the presence of God drew them in. What do you value most? May it be the presence of the Lord among us. Other things you can work out. Other things you need, but we need God among us and recognize that. And God gives a promise there that in his presence, he will give a gift of rest. And I believe this is a really important and relevant promise for us as a church. Do we want to live a life of pressure or a life in his pleasure? God wants us to know his pleasure. You know, the heavens are opened. The heavens are open. And the Spirit of God has come. And he resides upon us. He remains within us. He'll never leave you. He'll never leave you. And the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved sons and daughters with whom I am well pleased. That means there's pleasure involved. God is pleased with us not because of the way we've lived or what we've done, but because we've recognized our need of Jesus. We've recognized our need, and we've received the greatest gift that he had for us, his son. And because his son lives in you, God says, I am pleased with you. Live in my pleasure. Live in my pleasure, not under this world's pressure. Is our life run by the demands of this world and of other people? Is our life driven even by our own insecurities or sense that we've got to achieve something more? Are we driven by these other things? Do the demands of life pull at us? Or are we led by his Spirit and given his gifts? And I want us just to think this morning about this wonderful promise of presence, but also this great gift of rest and something of what that means to us. So we're going to look at God's presence, his promise, his provision, and the partnership that he calls us into. So what was God's promise to Israel? Number one, I think we're way ahead of ourselves. Slow down up there. We're way ahead. Back one. God's promise to Israel was that he would take them up and he would give them a land. He would give them the land that Abraham long before, centuries before, had walked up and down the length and the breadth of, and God had promised it to him. Some of God's promises take a long time coming. Some come quicker, some take a long time. But he promised he would give them the land and that he would give them rest. He would give them peace. What was that rest and peace from? It was rest and peace from their enemies and from adversity. I don't know if you ever feel in your life there's times where it just seems one thing after another seems to come against you. One thing after another just seems to come against you. And God is the God who promises rest from our enemies and from adversity as we will trust in him and put our faith in him. He promised that he would give them a land that would be fruitful, a land flowing with milk and honey. That he promised that he would give them a harvest that they wouldn't have to stress themselves over, but he would give them the rains at the right time if they walked in his ways. And they would have grain, and they would have oil, and they would have new wine, which for us are like symbols of the word of God, the grain of his word to us, and the new wine and oil of his Spirit. As we walk in God's ways and trust in him, he will fill us with his word that brings life, and he'll pour his Spirit into us more and more and more. So God's rest comes in his promise. Secondly, his rest comes in relationship. Sometimes we think of rest or just getting alone, getting away from everybody. But you'll notice in this verse, it says rest in the Lord. It's in relationship. True rest is not in isolation. True rest is in relationship. True rest is in our union with Christ Jesus, where we rest and we can be still in the Lord, waiting patiently for him. In that verse in Mark, Jesus says to his disciples, come away by yourself. Come away from the crowds, but don't get alone, because we're going to come away together. We can rest together, and we rest with Jesus as he refreshes us and re-energizes us and rejuvenates us. Number three, the Bible talks a lot about the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was about rest. The Jews, by the time Jesus was alive in Israel, had made it into something very much of a lot of rules and a lot of regulations. But the Sabbath rest was really about trusting God for his provision. Trusting God for his provision. You don't need to work 7 days, because God will provide on the day you don't work as you trust him. The real test was a Sabbath year, that they were to plant and to sow and to reap for 6 years, but in the seventh year they were to neither reap nor plant or sow, which meant that they not only had nothing to reap in that year, but they would have nothing in the next one either, because they hadn't sown in the seventh, so there wouldn't be any harvest in the eighth. But they were to trust God that in the sixth year he would provide enough to last them right through. That's a real test. That was a real test. And I don't know how many in Israel ever really kept to that promise of the Sabbath years. But Sabbath is about trust and reliance. Not rules and regulations. They made it all sorts of rules. You know, when I was a kid, we knew all the kind of rules about Sunday. You didn't watch TV on a Sunday. I mean, goodness, you'd miss all that good football on Sky Sports now. So glad we didn't have that back then. You wouldn't watch, you wouldn't buy newspapers. There was lots of folk with all these rules. I knew folks who wouldn't cook on a Sunday. They cook on a Saturday night, so they didn't cook on a Sunday. All these sort of rules. But the thing is, it's not about following rules. The Sabbath is about rest, and therefore it's about trusting God. Because you can only fully rest when you're trusting God to be your provider. And you know, this is what God's really after in all his dealings with us. God is after this, saying, will you trust me with all of your heart? Will you trust me with your church? Will you trust me when Alan moves on after all these years been with you? Will you trust me when things change? Will you just trust me when things are difficult? And if you can give your heart to trust God, there is no limit to what he can do in your life. There is no limit to what God can do with a heart that fully trusts him. There is no limit. And so he's always giving us this invitation. He's always working in us to try and build in a heart that would trust him for all things. Jesus kept breaking the Sabbath rules, didn't he? Kept on healing people on the Sabbath. It really wound up the religious people. Really wound them up. You know, he's looking around at these sick folk on a Thursday and saying, nah, I'll wait till the Sabbath. Then Friday come, now leave them another day. We'll wait till the Sabbath. Then we'll do it then. He kind of seemed to deliberately wind up. He exposed the folly of having Sabbath rules and regulations, but not fully trusting God. See, Jesus broke the regulations attached to the Sabbath because he lived a Sabbath lifestyle all the time. He lived in a reliance on the Holy Spirit. He lived in a trust in God all the time. So he could live in a restfulness. Jesus' work that he did in the Sabbath didn't interfere with his dependence on his Father. And so fourthly and finally, the partnership. We've got restful working. Restful working. Does that make sense? Restful working. And the Bible talks about us resting from our works so we enter into his work. Hebrews 4 verse 10 says, for the one who has entered his rest, that's God's rest, has himself rested from his own works. And so much of the time, you know, we put our trust in God for salvation because we kind of recognize we can't really save ourselves. But then we begin to move in our own strength. And we'll do this for the Lord, and we'll work this, and we'll work that. And God watches us, and he says, when will you come to the end of yourselves? When will you come to the end of your efforts, your work, your ideas, where you keep asking me to bless it and actually rest and come and see my work and bless what I'm doing? Don't come up with your great ideas of this, this, and this, and then ask God to bless it. No, find out what is God doing, and then we enter into and bless what the Father is doing. Jesus said the Son, he himself, could do nothing by himself, but he only did what he saw the Father doing. Let's rest from our work, our strenuous efforts. Let's not be afraid to lay down some things and then see what God is doing and bless what he is doing. Rest, this rest that the Bible speaks about is not just doing nothing. It's not about being lazy. It's not about just sitting by a pool and doing nothing for a few weeks. This rest is about a partnering with God in a restful spirit. The very well-known verses where Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, all who are feeling exhausted, all who have been trying and trying and trying and feeling you've not been getting anywhere. All who've been putting in great effort, but all you've done is wear yourself down. He's saying, you guys, I'm talking to you, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you rest. It's a gift. It's a gift that he gives to us. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, think about this for a moment. What was the yoke for? The yoke was for two oxen. When did they get yoked together? They don't get yoked together when they're lying down in the stable. They get yoked together in order to go out and plow. This is a working illustration. Jesus is talking here about working in a restful spirit where we're yoked to him in a partnership that brings ease that brings a pleasing way to it. We're a partnership that fits. And I think so often in the church, and I'm not just talking us here, guys, I'm talking you all over, we sow much and harvest little. We've sown much seed and we've harvested so little. And I think a lot of it's because we've been doing it our way, not His way. Because we've been coming up with our ideas, our plans. We've been striving after something rather than resting in Him and saying, Lord, what do you want us to do? You know, we can work and work and work at things and see so little happen. We can rest in the Lord and see one miracle come forth and all manner of things can break out. Rest is not doing nothing, but it's partnering with God in a restful spirit. Jesus says, take His yoke and work with Him, but do it His way, His works through us. Let me encourage you as you go forward as a church in the coming time, in this coming season, that above all else, you seek to maintain the presence of the Lord among you. That is your greatest value, His presence among you. And that you come into a resting relationship in Him and a restful partnership with Him. That it's not going to be a struggle, but as the Spirit of God moves and weaves in and out you, there's going to be an ease. No longer driven. Do not be a driven person. No longer driven by our needs or trying to achieve something. No longer running to the demands of this, that, and the next thing. Whether it's the inner demands of your own dissatisfied soul or whether it's the demands of other people, you know, it's okay sometimes just to say no. But instead, being led by the Spirit into the gifts that God has for you. God has a gift of rest. I'll give you rest. He has many more gifts for you. Gifts of salvation. Gifts of life transformed. He has many gifts for you. And He's saying, let me just lead you. Let me lead you by my Spirit into the gifts that I have for you. When we rest in Him, His presence and His anointing rests on us. When we trust in Him, that enables us to stop our doing and rest, then His anointing, His presence, His Spirit will rest on us. And in that, everything becomes possible. Why don't we stand together? Let's just let the breath of God breathe afresh upon us today. If you're tired, if you're weary, if you're feeling a bit kind of jaded, just let His freshness come upon you today. If you've been going and going and going and you don't maybe quite know how to stop, why don't you just say, right now, I'm just stopping and saying, Lord, I'm done doing it my way. I'm done struggling. I'm done striving. Just come and give me your gift of rest. I don't know how to do it, but Lord, will you just give it to me? A gift of your rest. Let's receive the fresh breath of His Spirit today. Father, as best we're able, we come today and we put our trust in you, Lord. We put our trust in you. We lay down trying to do our own thing, trying to run our own life. We lay down the demands and the drivenness. And we stop. And we receive your fresh breath. Come, Holy Spirit. As we stop and as we trust and as we rest in the Lord now, come, Holy Spirit, breathe that refreshment upon us. Breathe that new life. Breathe that your wind would lead us, your presence will lead us into all the gifts that God has for us. Just breathe in His Spirit today. Breathe in His Spirit, even physically right now. Just breathe in, breathe in, breathe in. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just rest upon us all around this room today. Thank you, Father. We don't have to make anything happen. Tried it. Didn't really work. Lord, would you just come? Would you come and just create your wonderful things among us? Pray that into individual lives right now where you've been struggling, where you've been striving, where you've seemed up against it. Just receive his rest, his peace right now. Over us as church here, as a gathered people, we just lay down our striving and say, Lord, just come. Bring your peace. Bring your way. Bring your solutions right now.